Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we look to it, we ask that you open our eyes. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the word this morning. How many think we could leave now and it'd be good? Well, you made it through a Sunday without a worship team. Last Sunday, if you were here. So we had a little schedule issue, but that's all right. God's good. Amen. So we march on. We're going to continue in our series on salt and light. And I'm going to open to that. If you want to open up to Luke 14. We're going to go there this morning, and I want to talk about I'm subtitling this Stones and Soldiers. Stones and Soldiers. And we're going to talk about what the Lord taught us out of that. I guess it's a parable. I'm not quite sure, but we're going to look at his teaching on the building and the house of God and the army or the military of God. It should be good. Anytime you go to the Word, it's good. Amen? Do you know the Word's anointed no matter what? Even if the preacher isn't? Have you ever listened to a preacher on the radio and you're like, man, this guy is dry? I have. So maybe it's only me. But you can always get something. If the word is coming forth, God's in his word. I know years ago we were told, when I was at Bible college, this person shared a testimony about how there was a man who was raised in church, but he wasn't born again. He hadn't received Jesus. And he was with another friend of his or coworker of his who wasn't born again, who didn't know Jesus. And this friend was telling him all his problems. Well, this man who was raised in church, even though he hadn't received Jesus, knew the answer was Jesus. And so he shared Jesus with this guy and then prayed with him to get saved. And the guy got saved, got born again. And actually, years later, became a preacher. And that preacher was preaching one time, and this guy that led him to the Lord was in the service where he was preaching and ended up getting saved in the service where he was preaching. So even if a sinner says the word of God, God's not going to not have his anointing on the word. His anointing is always on the word, and it always works. And so that's a good way to approach the word of God. We got to be very careful that the book, the Bible, doesn't become mundane to us. You got to look at it from the perspective of and expect. God works on expectancy. He works through people who are looking for him to work. Okay, that's how he operates. People say, well, I wish he'd just do it anyway. Well, he's God. He chose the system. We need to conform to him. Amen. We don't need to try and change God. We need to change. And that's the process that we're going through. And that's why the word of God is important, because it transforms the way that we think. So the first message that we looked at, we actually talked about in the series, we talked about the vision of Faith Family Church. It's important because the Lord is strategic in the way that he does things. Without a vision, the scripture says, the people will what? Perish. And then the second week, or the second message and the third message in this series, we shared about catching God's heart for the lost. In other words, being salt and light, you know, sometimes I think people have this mentality of, well, I'm not an evangelist. Everybody is, in a sense. Now, you may not be called to what we typically know as an evangelist, like, for instance, Billy Graham. How many of you know who Billy Graham is? People say he was. No, he still is. He's just in heaven. But he was a famous evangelist in America and around the world. Influence president. That was his call. But you know, there are people that are called to live in one location, never travel much out of that location, work a particular job for 20 or 30 years, have a family and raise a family where they're at. Their kids go to the same schools they went to when they were a kid. and be a light and salt in that place. And do you know the reward for the person that obeys in that will be equivalent to the reward that Billy Graham got because he followed his call on his life? So what we need to dispel first and foremost in this is very simply this. Don't judge externally how important you are to God based on what you see. Because God has called you to a specific thing. You know, I remember when this really dawned on me. I was a youth pastor and I thought, dear God, am I ever going to get out? Come on, everybody's been in that place before, right? It's like, is this job ever going to end? Or, you know, ministry is no different than the rest of life. Everything has its stuff, right? And I knew I wasn't called to be a youth pastor, per se. I mean, I was at that season. That's where the Lord had me. And I was just kind of frustrated. And the Lord spoke to me and basically said, Sean, if you don't settle down, if you don't learn what I want you to learn here, you'll never do what I've called you to do. Ever had a vision from God, but it isn't happening? There's a reason why. And a lot of times, to get to that reason why requires a whole lot of humility from you, from me. Come on, individually. It requires it because until we are broken before the Lord, He can't do what He wants through us. Until we are in that place of, Lord, You are God, You are the supreme, and God works out of us the pride issues, and all the different fleshy issues that we have, He can't move us into that next place that we want, that we desire. And it probably is God's will for our lives. We can't move to that place. Those things got to be worked out, or at least you have to mature to a point where you can handle. Because how many know this? Your gift, your gifting, your calling. Now, I'm not talking about preachers right now, okay? So don't check out on me. I'm talking about people who work in the grocery store and people who work in accounting and people who work, I'm talking about the church as a whole. Everybody in this place has a call from God. Now, it may not be a speaking call, and most people would say, thank you, Lord, because they don't want to be in front of people. But everybody has a call from God, and the call can be general and the call is specific. Like, you're probably not called to do what I'm called to do. Maybe you are, I don't know. But it can be general and specific. So in that, there are things that God works on you with so that He can use you and put His favor upon you to be able to advance His kingdom in your world. You know, there are people that you come in contact with that really like you, your personality, your way, the things and the way you do things, and it gives you influence to be a light and a salt in their life. They like you. Some people are like, are you sure? Yeah, they do. They like you. They may not like me, but they know you. There are people you work with that you've developed relationships with over time. It may not be a deep relationship, but I'm telling you, one day the door will open and they'll say, man, I got all these problems going on. I don't know what to do. And God's going, here, salt and light. Be a light. Well, Sean, you don't know what I've done. God does, and He still wants you to share His love with other people. Amen. We could all talk about what we've done, but how about we focus on what Jesus did? Come on. Why don't we believe what God said about us? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, go. People say, well, I'm not going to China. No, you don't have to. How about across the street? I'll even take up an offering for you to go across the street. Boy, I'm feeling it today, aren't I? How about where you work? How about be a light where you work? I know when I first got saved, Terry, my father-in-law, forced me to work for him for 7 years so I could marry his daughter. He tried to give me Erica. I said, oh, no, I already read that story. We're not playing that game. No, not really. He did joke about that, though. So we would work construction, and drywall and painting. He's training me, and I needed Terry. I mean, I needed that environment. I needed Mike. I needed the environment I was in, because I lived a very just carnal life, and I needed to get away from the work that I was in, because I partied with all my managers, and they weren't, you know, none of us were of age, but it didn't matter. I mean, the world's the world. The world is the world is the world, okay? We partied at their houses, and we're 18, you know, we're 17, we're 16. Some of us, you know, and these guys are in their 20s and 30s. It's like, dude, you need to grow up, you know? You need to move on with your life. But anyway, so I needed to get out of that environment because I needed good influence, and I didn't have enough character in me to make good decisions. So I needed to be around people with strong character that could help kind of navigate me into right decisions. Does that make sense? Or at least have what I would call positive peer pressure. You know, the scripture says bad company does what? Corrupts good morals. Well, it's true, but good company does what? It reinforces good morals. And so I needed that. And we were a light everywhere we went. I was an annoying light, but I was a light. You said, what do you mean? I had a lot of zeal and no knowledge. And the knowledge I did have, boy, I would load it up and unleash that on you. Man, you're going to hell, you rotten, sorry. You know what I mean? I was, and it's true, they were, but I wasn't helping my cause by being so forceful. And people say, you were more forceful then? Yeah, if you can believe it, it was true. But I had it in me. I had been born again. I had been delivered. I had been set free from addiction to drug, addiction to alcohol, addiction to all these things. And my heart changed. Everything. I could not get high enough to get peace in my heart. I tried mixing things. I thought, well, maybe if this drug and this drug come together, it'll work. It never worked. My parents were right the whole time. You just need to get saved, you ding dong. And it's true. I did. I needed to get saved. Why? Because the condition was spiritual. It wasn't natural. There's not a drug that humanity has come up with that can reach into your heart, your spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And when you yield to the Holy Spirit and allow that life to come into you, for me, the addictions went poof. Does that make sense? Those things went away. Well, what happened? I have now this light in me. I have this freedom in me, even though physically I didn't look great. God blinded my wife for years. So she would say, I know I'm supposed to marry you. It's the will of God. And there were scales over her eyes, so she couldn't see. It took me a while to get healed up and to get restored physically because I had beaten my body up so much. But anyway, believe in God. How many know miracles help? Yeah. And anyway, in the process of that, I wanted to be a light. So we would play, all that there was for Christian radio back then was, what was it called? Curl radio. How many remember curl radio? Okay, a few hands. The younger crowd's like, what? Curl radio. And so we listened to curl radio. And this was before, you know, Bluetooth and iPods and, you know, and all that stuff. So we didn't have any of that. Remember we were in that one house working, and we had curl radio on? The contractor got so mad, he came in and turned our radio off. He's like, why do you guys play this stuff? Because you need it, pal. So we turned it back on. You were antagonistic. Yeah, we were. A real thorn in the flesh. He came back in and turned it off again. What are we doing? Salt. Light. We're showing, we're being a light where we are. When you're a light, it's like what Mike was saying during the offering time. When you're a light, God can use you. And as you grow and develop in him, then he can increase and multiply the level of influence that you have for his kingdom. And with the multiplication of the advancement of the kingdom, the things that the world seeks after just come with the territory. You say, what do you mean by that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. That's where that comes from. So let's look at this. Luke, did I say Luke? That's what I meant to say. Luke 14. I want to read a passage of scripture to you this morning that a lot of times we look at it from one perspective, but I want to take it and flip it and look at it from another perspective. I was reading a commentary on this. And I thought it was really good. So, Luke chapter 14, verse number 25. Now, I'm going to read through this passage, and then I'm going to go back and comment on it. Verse number 25 says this, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and it is not able and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right, let's go back up to verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So, here are some conditions for stones and soldiers. It's interesting that he brings this up first, and then he starts talking about building a building and fighting a war. What is he saying? What is the context of what we're talking about? Jesus is talking about being a what? A disciple. Okay? He's talking about being a disciple. How many were taught never to hate anybody? What did Jesus say? Boy, now we got conflict, don't we? Well, I thought God is love. Well, then we better know what that word means, shouldn't we? That word hate actually means to love less. So we could look at it like this. If anyone comes to me and does not and loves his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, more than me, he cannot be my disciple. You see that? People say, why bring that up? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Why deal with this? Is Jesus like, man, they're going to write the Bible after I'm dead? And we got to, you know, fill up the pages. Think of something. Come on, just think of something. Come up with something. Now, some books are written that way. They're full of nonsense. But what is Jesus saying here? Is he serious? Let me ask you this. Would Jesus tell you something other than this? He wouldn't. These are his words, right? Sometimes I think we do this. We'll read this and then go, next. What's next? Yeah, I've read that scripture. Next. But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't change ever. Isn't that awesome? I'm thankful. He doesn't change ever. He stays steady. He's saying this exact same thing. I remember years ago, Terry was sharing with me after my father-in-law, after I got saved. He was sharing with me about Bible camp. And he had, if I mess this up, Terry, let me know. But you had had a vision of of basically an altar. And you were having to place things on this altar. And the one thing that, if you know, if you know Terry, if you've talked to him, the one thing that he desired more than anything was to have a family. Is that probably true? And that was his, because he didn't have one growing, much of one growing up. It was troubled, okay? We'll just put it that way. But one of the things, if I remember correctly, is that you had to put your family on the altar to the Lord. And he consumed it. See, here's the thing. In order to get from God what you desire from God, you have to have God first. People say, well, God will never do that. Really? Did he do it with Abraham and Isaac? Well, those promises are there. And God said he would do it. Yeah, and these words are here too. And they tie into those same promises. We don't pick and choose which part we like and then ignore the rest. People say, well, if I love God more than my family, well, let me ask you this. Do you think that God is going to lead you to destroy your family? Come on. We have to hit this other side, because people will read these truths and they'll think about it, and then the devil will get in and, oh my goodness, fear will come out. Well, I can't do that. If I give that God first, then who's going to take care of my kid? Hello, God. That's what he's saying here, right? I know this is tough. Hang with me. I know it's strong. Hang with me. God's not asking you to destroy your family. He's asking you to put him first so that he can operate the way he wants to in your family. Does that make sense? If my parents told me one thing and the Bible tells me another, guess what? I'm going with the Bible. Well, that's disrespectful. No, it's honoring to God, is what it is. And it's actually respectful, because the scripture says that we're to obey our parents in the Lord. In the Lord. We're to obey our parents. So, what Jesus is actually telling us here is phenomenal. What he's saying is, you can have such a level of closeness with me and relationship with me that nobody else, when you put me first, that will not interrupt anything else around you, in the sense of you will have the most effectiveness in salt and light if you put me above everything else. And why deal with family? Here's a thought for you. Why deal with family? Because family, have you ever noticed, has most potential to affect your life. Have you ever noticed that? Make you happy, make you mad. They did what? The enemy wants to stir things up. When you love God first, you can forgive the family member that is intentionally trying to hurt you. Right? Salt and light, disciples. When Jesus left the Pharisees' house, great crowds followed him, but he was not impressed by their enthusiasm. Have you ever noticed this? This is where you get down to the nitty-gritty, because you'll have converts and you'll have disciples. He knew that most of those in the crowd were not the least bit interested in the deeper spiritual things. Some wanted only to see miracles, others heard that he fed the hungry, and a few hoped that he would overthrow Rome and establish David's promised kingdom. They were expecting the wrong things. Jesus turned to the multitude and preached a sermon, now listen to this, that deliberately thinned out the ranks. He made it clear, when it comes to personal discipleship, he is more interested in quality than quantity. In the matter of saving lost souls, he wants his house to be filled. We know this from Luke 14:23. But in the matter of personal discipleship, he wants only those who are willing to pay the price. A disciple, by definition, is a learner, one who attaches himself or herself to a teacher in order to learn a trade or a subject. Perhaps the nearest modern equivalent is an apprentice, one who learns by watching and by doing. The word disciple was the most common name for the followers of Jesus Christ and is used 264 times in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Do you think it's a big deal to God? If he uses the word 264 times, it's a big deal to him, okay? Jesus seems to make a distinction between salvation and discipleship. Salvation is open to all who will come by faith, while discipleship is for believers willing to pay a price. Salvation means coming to the cross and trusting Jesus Christ, while discipleship means carrying the cross and following Jesus Christ. Everybody's like, man, look at Jesus, paid it all. And then he says, take up the cross and follow me. And that's where you get the separation. You say, you preach a message like this and not everybody's going to do it. Oh, come on. I know that. I've been in ministry for about 20 years now in some form. I've watched it happen. I've been the one that hasn't done it. Well, I'm not going to do that message. Preacher probably preached that because he doesn't even like me. I've heard that too. I'm leaving this church. Why? That guy's boring. Why don't you grow up and sit down and stay a little bit? I was in a church service one time. You guys need to laugh a little. I was in a church service one time, and the senior pastor wasn't there. It was an associate pastor that was a teacher. He was more of a teacher. So he wasn't real, you know, he's just steady Eddie, teach the word, kind of, not monotone, but didn't move a lot, you know. But he's teaching the word of God. This guy leans over to me. I'm not on staff at this church. I'm just there in the service. And I'm enjoying the teaching. I'm like, man, this is good. And I'm sitting there thinking, hey, what if I could teach like that? You know, because, you know, you do that a little bit in your mind, especially when you're a preacher. But anyway, I'm sitting there listening to him, and this guy leans over to me and goes, this isn't what I need. And he just is bitter in his face. He's like, I need the move of the Holy Ghost. And just, you know, he said, I'm leaving. And he literally got up and left. I'm like thinking to myself, you would have left Jesus' meetings. Because Jesus took whole days to teach. Not preach, just teach. And they weren't in an air-conditioned building with microphones and TVs and all that. They're on the side of a hill with their kids. They didn't have children's church. They're just sitting there on the side of a hill all day and have not eaten. Think about the anointing they're sitting under. And they're just there. And they don't, it's the end of the day. They're not even thinking, man, we got to get out of here. We got to get some food. They're just staying. The Holy Spirit can move many ways. And here that guy, and I saw him years later, and he was just as messed up as he ever was. Maybe worse. Why? He wouldn't stay put and sit down and listen and be attentive and submit. Oh, I don't like that word. I know. Most people don't. Because it's painful to your flesh. You ever notice that? It's like, Lord, how much longer? Until you stop squirming. Amen. Isn't that how you do it with your kids? That's how I do it with mine. I know they need to sit a little longer if they just can't stop moving. And then God does that. And what it does is it establishes discipline in you, which God needs for discipleship. Amen? So salvation means coming to the cross and trusting Jesus Christ, while discipleship means carrying the cross and following Jesus Christ. Jesus wants as many sinners saved as possible. He said that my house may be filled. But he cautions us not to take discipleship lightly. And there are three parables he gave. He made it clear that there is a price to pay. To begin with, we must love Christ supremely, even more than our own flesh and blood. The word hate does not suggest positive antagonism, but rather to love less. Our love for Christ must be so strong that all other love is like hatred in comparison. In fact, we must hate our own lives and be willing to bear the cross after him. Strong, mature, come on, stone soldier believers are those who will give up their own for someone else. And people say, well, I don't know if I can do that. The one who did it for you lives in you. You can do it by his ability. If you really want to tap the depths of life in Christ and the resurrection within you, there has to come a point where you begin to live out of who Christ is in you rather than Christ afar. Does that make sense? See, when you love others more than you love yourself, when you love the Lord more than you love your own comfort, then you'll be able to operate in a level of the anointing and Spirit of God, where you're reaching out to people even if they hate you. Come on. While we were yet sinners, Christ. Well, you say, is this all going to happen by the end of the service? No. This is daily we take up that cross. Come on. If you struggle to have just love operate at a high level in your family, you're going to struggle outside. So we got to grow. We got to develop. We got to get a salt and light mentality. We have to develop in what's already been placed within us and work at it. How many notice that the faith walk is not the feather walk? Light and fluffy. You know, if you go with Jesus, you know, all your problems will go away. No, you'll have an answer to all the problems that were always going to be there. Or you can do what the world does, medicate. The problem's not there. The problem's not there. The problem's not there. Come on. Well, I just got to relax. I just got to do this. And it's not just, I mean, you could be drinking hard alcohol or pop all day long. I don't care what it is. Whatever your flesh desires, if you're avoiding what the answer out of your spirit, then you're operating in a natural place, not in a spiritual place. Well, I just had a hard day. Where's the gallon of ice cream? And I like ice cream. I ate a lot of ice cream when I was on vacation. I will not be eating a lot this week. Or he can't, we'll go back down. And it wasn't because I was under stress. It was just like, this is great. So what is God saying? He's saying, I need stones and I need soldiers. What are stones? Let's look at this. We'll wrap it up with stones and soldiers here. In verse number 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and it is not able and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. How many know people will mock you? Isn't that true? Okay. So, Jesus gave three parables to explain why he makes such costly demands on followers. The man building a tower, the king fighting a war, and salt losing its flavor. The usual interpretation is that believers are represented by the man building the tower and the king fighting the war. And we had better count the cost before we start, lest we start and not be able to finish. And actually, I think there is a truth there. I don't think there's anything wrong with that interpretation of that scripture. But I want to bring out this other one that I read here. It says this. The guy said, this commentator says this, but I agree with Campbell Morgan that the builder and the king represent not the believer, but Jesus Christ. He is the one who must count the cost to see whether we are the kind of material he can use to build the church and battle the enemy. He says this, he cannot get the job done with half-hearted followers who will not pay the price. Do you see that? God is looking for substance in us. Now, here's the interesting thing. By grace through faith, you were saved. So what was placed in you? All the substance necessary to accomplish the task at hand, right? So what is God looking for? Whether you are one who will tend to the talent or not. Come on, you remember the offering message. In other words, what are you doing with what you have? Well, I just don't know if I could just have that level of joy because, you know, I have all these circumstances going on. You don't have the joy of your circumstance. You have the joy of the... And you say, why do you say it like that? Because if you don't shift your mind, the enemy will keep you in old, dead, sin, unrighteous, lifeless thinking. When in reality, you have the same spirit within you that raised Christ from the dead. Not going to get it when you go to heaven. You have it now. So God is looking down and going, look what I made. If only they believed in what I made. And everybody is at different levels of this. We're all in different spiritual development stages. But have you ever noticed that sometimes you can go Well, they did it more years ago. They don't do it as much now. But we had a kid when I was in sixth grade that was supposed to be in eighth grade in our class because he refused to pass. And he was a big bugger. I mean, he was a big bugger when he was in his class. But he was two classes behind. You ever played football with a kid who's in eighth grade and you're in sixth and you're small anyway? It hurts. And he literally can just run over everybody. He may feel like a champion, but he's two grades behind. I think spiritually we got some of that. You feel like I'm doing it, man. You're like, you're supposed to be in eighth grade. We're in fourth. You're 4 years behind. Why? Because the necessary thing to be learned in fourth grade and in fifth, it never got past fourth grade, so we never got to fifth grade, so we never got to sixth, so we never got to seventh, and now we're eighth grade age, but back in fourth grade. You're a giant old bugger sitting in an itty-bitty desk, and no wonder you're crabby, because you're stuck, because that desk is too small. Come on, parent-teacher conferences. I love it. When my kids were, now they're getting bigger. So, you know, you sit down, it's not like, are we ever going to hit the chair? You know? When they were little, it's like they didn't bring in big chairs for the parent-teacher conference. And they got this itty-bitty table down there. And I'm like scooting up to the thing. My knees are hitting the table. Couldn't we get a bigger table for the parent? We want you to experience exactly what your kids experience. We'll just stand. Just go ahead. We'll stand. God is looking for what? Stones. What do we know about stones? They're solid. Stones you can put in place and they won't move. Now here's the thing, and you can read about it later in 1 Peter 2, but we're actually called living stones. And it says in 1 Peter 2:5 that we are living stones and we are being built up in a spiritual house. Who's the house? You is. And you are a living stone. Which, what does that mean? You got appendages. You got arms and legs. What's the problem with living stones? They run away. God will put them somewhere. That looks cool over there. You know. But when you're a disciple, you don't go by cool. You don't go by the age of the church building. You don't go by, come on. When you're established, you don't look at the crowd and go, what are these guys doing for me? You look at the crowd and go, what can I do for these people? Come on. Do you hear it? It's the cry of the Lord to this generation. Why? He needs stones. He needs soldiers. He needs people that are not just thinking about their retirement only, but they're thinking about his kingdom. Come on, how much are you going to take with you anyway? The only thing that I can take with me when I go to heaven is the people that are in my life. Why? You say they're going to die when you die. No, but if they receive Jesus, Jesus came to redeem humans. Who do you have in your life? Are you willing to be a stone? Are you willing to be a soldier? What do we know about a soldier? Does God look at us and go, I can defeat 20,000 with those 10,000? Or does he look at us and go, write up terms of peace with this guy. Come on. I didn't write this. This is the Lord's recording. And people say, well, he doesn't judge us like that. He does. It's not salvation based. In other words, you're going to go to heaven whether you grow up spiritually or not, but you're going to miss out on the promised land if you don't grow up spiritually. You've got to grow up spiritually. If you want to possess all that God has for you on this side and then be what? An effective spiritual stone, soldier for the kingdom that walks into situations and goes, and people go, oh, they're here. They know that the kingdom is coming when you arrive. Why? Because you're a soldier. You're a changer of atmosphere. You're a possessor of land. You're a stable, solid person of prayer. You're a person of faith. You're a steady one that steadily is a part of what God is doing in the church and in a community to be able to advance his kingdom. And you do it in a place of faith because one day, and it won't be real long, all of us will be out of here and into the next. And so you have joy, you have peace, you have all that God has. And in the process of living your life, you're a witness and a light wherever you go, enjoying the trip along the way. Because the source of joy is in you. You can do it. Oh, I don't know if I can. Well, with that attitude, you can't. But if you listen to me and you listen to the Lord, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you listen to the song, the God of miracles, he's moving in your life. Hang on to that. That's what faith is. And when you do, you'll see God move. How many have experienced God move in your life? How many love that feeling? Oh my gosh, I love it. There's nothing like it. What do we know about soldiers? They go where they're told. They do what they're told. They're trained for battle. They know how to handle the enemy. They don't just do whatever they want. They put in, they can put in a request for a transfer. And it can come back what? Denied. Lord, I think you've called me to Hawaii. Stand, please. Lord, I'd like a transfer. Come on, how many have ever put in for a transfer and God said, nope? I have, man, the rest of you, I don't know, maybe you're lying, I don't know. No. How many have ever been in a situation and you're just like, God, I want out of this thing? And God's going, let's walk through it. You wanna? If I'm gonna say this just as sweetly as I can. Because I just, this came up in my heart. Sometimes the reason why people are having a hard time hearing what God is saying is because they're crying so much. How many have had kids? Now, mine are not that young anymore, but when they're real little, have you ever seen a kid just like pitch a fit and the parents going, hey, hey, but the kid can't hear because the kid's just sitting there pitching a fit. Christians can do that. Like, prayer is the forever I'm going to complain at God about my situation. And when you do that, you're not listening. So you've got to get, this is what I do. Lord, I know I can miss it. Where am I missing it? If I am. Lord, I'm going to seek you on this, and I'm asking you to speak to me about it. And then let him speak to you. People say, well, how will I know? You will know when God speaks to you. Because faith will rise up in your heart. Amen? Come on, church. You are the redeemed ones. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of the Spirit lives inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It is never too late with God. He can help you. He can deliver you. He can show you. He can give you light in a situation that is you've struggled in for years. And you can be set free like that. And have joy. Again. It's good, amen? Aren't you thankful that the Lord meets us? It's so good. He's so good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you don't know the Lord, or you need prayer for anything, I don't care what it is, I'm going to have you come and meet me after the service and we'll pray with you. But if you're not born again, do not leave this place without Jesus in your heart. Don't do it. Humble yourself and come after service. What you're searching for, and I feel like this is for somebody specific by the Holy Spirit. You are never going to find what you're searching for, and you've tried so many things, and your heart is still empty. And the Lord is telling you that He is the answer. He is the one. Your heart is hurt, your heart is wounded, and now you've been through many things, many different things that have caused more and more damage to your spirit, your inside, and he wants to heal it if you'll receive him. You just need to receive him. And so if that's you, when we dismiss, you come see me. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your anointing. Miracles are happening in our life, Lord, and we're thankful for it. We rejoice in it, and we expect it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we purpose, and we take the challenge that you've presented before us from your word. We will be stones. We will be soldiers. We will advance your kingdom in this area and to every place that you've called us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great, great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.